Blog Talk Radio.
Awkward. We've been playing tag on here for a while, I think all week long, but we did manage to get some tail in this week, so I'm not upset. I'm not upset at all. So, if you've been listening this week, then you know that tomorrow is the big day for me, so I will be starting school tomorrow. So I'm thinking probably Monday through Friday. We're going to be doing our shows at night. If you want tarot done not at nighttime and you want a specific time, then unfortunately you will have to write me and ask me for a private reading, and then I'll make time for you. We'll have to like make a schedule or something or an appointment or what have you. But otherwise, I will be getting on at the same time every day. I'm thinking 7:30 would be best because my school stops about 6 p.m. So do that, and that'll get us everybody. But this morning, while we wait and before we do our forecast, I do want to catch up on some news since Wednesday was ruined and it's been a fucking really weird but interesting week. We had a little bit of drama up on here. I'm sure y'all probably heard. I'm so sorry about that. So I don't know what Sammy's thing is, but I don't know why he listens to the show either. I don't know. I don't get it. Like, bro, why? Why are you listening to this show? All right, anyway, so we're going to move on. I have things that I want to do first. And I've been saving them. So, let's go see where we save it. Let's switch. Again, thank you. First, we're going to start off with a little bit of everything while we wait, because, you know, might as well. No point in wasting. So, in all that is interesting right now, according... No, we're going to stop that. You shut up. I don't care. No, nobody needs to be talking to me right now. Shut up. Anyway, so according to a report from the University of California, researchers have found traces of an unknown ghost species in the DNA of the West African Yoruba population. They're saying that the DNA is not linked to any known human ancestor. How interesting. And if you guys weren't paying attention, all of the North 100 million are bracing for a huge winter storm with blizzard winds. It's going to be like a foot of snow or more. It's basically like a hurricane, but with snow and ice. My mom and brother are currently up there right now, and they're trapped in it. It's going to take them much longer to get home. God forbid something happens to them on the way. In California, the same storm hit, and it caused mudslides. So, anybody hear this? The Dodger Stadium mass vaccine site was shut down in Los Angeles after protesters blocked the entrance. Fucking losers. That's just what that is. I want to say it's Susan B. Anthony is going to be on the $20 bill, or is it Harriet Tubman? One of those two. We're getting a what black woman on $20. Yeah. Now, if y'all were catching up or keeping up with the whole GameStop thing, now, if you guys haven't been following the GameStop stock shit show, you really need to look into it. Okay, this is so fucking hilarious. But allow me to catch you up. So this hedge fund called Melvin Capital wrote out some douchey article about how the smart investment move would be to short sell GameStop stock. To put it simply, short selling is essentially gambling that a stock price will drop. If it does, you make money. If it doesn't, you end up paying out money for every month it goes up. Well, in this little article, Melvin wrote pissed off a dark, dank corner of the internet called Wall Street Bets. It is a hive of Ritalin-addled lunatics who treat the stock market like a fucking casino. These dudes will regularly gamble their life savings on a single trade. It's a glorious thing to watch. Now, the WSB crew has a weird fascination with certain stocks. They call them meme stocks. Tesla is one, and another is GameStop. Arguably, that's the most weirdly loved meme stock. So, for reasons that make sense only to the degenerates on WSB, Melvin trying to short sell their meme was a declaration of war. Yes, this is dumb, but it gets so fucking hilarious. WSB decided to do a short squeeze. This is when you see people trying to short a stock, but you buy up that stock, and then you get a bunch of other people to buy up that stock. With each purchase, the price actually goes up. Since Melvin was trying to short the stock at a price of $20 per share, WSB wanted to get it as high above that price as humanely possible. They got it up to $200 per share. This means that Melvin has to cover over $180 per share that they bought. This came out to billions. Fucking billions. Melvin Capital overnight was suddenly facing bankruptcy. Think about that. A bunch of self-identified degenerates on a fucking website were able to tank a fucking hedge fund. That's hilarious. Now, while the rich and powerful don't like seeing us plebeians fucking with one of their own, little funds, they ended up with another hedge fund and teamed up with a few other little funds, and they injected around $3 billion into Melvin Capital to keep them from spiraling. Essentially, this meant that the billionaire hedge fund crew were banding together to fight back against Wall Street Bets. Just said, okay, no problem. Wall Street Bets said today the stock for GameStop is at $3.20 per share. Now, Melvin Capital lost all of that $3 billion they were given. It's gone. They're still fucked. 0.72 gave a little over $1 billion of that injection, and that means that fund dropped from $17 billion to $16 billion. That means in less than 24 hours, WSB managed to all but ensure one hedge fund will die and drop the value of another by 6% so far. And remember, the WSB is just a bunch of jackasses on the internet. They aren't hedge fund guys. They aren't millionaires or billionaires. They are literally doing this on a phone app. This is done by morons on a phone app, coordinating to ruin billionaires' lives because they can. What we're watching here with GameStop stocks is a bunch of rich people who are getting fucking wrecked purely for entertainment by the kind of middle class and poor people they regularly lobby against and treat like this. This eat the rich shit. It's the damn the man with the meme stock. It's fucking beautiful. And because whoever is writing our reality lost all sense of subtlety after 2020, the icing on the cake is that the app that the WSB crew are using to pull off this stock trading app, this stock trading is an app called Robinhood. Yeah, as in steal from the rich and all that jazz. Yes. God damn it. I truly love living in the fucking future. Like, seriously. This is the best thing ever. Now, moving into our silence. Now, time is elastic. Why time passes faster atop a mountain than at sea level? Now, since Einstein posited his theory of general relativity, we've understood that gravity has the power to warp space and time. Why do you have that? Give me. Nope. Yep. No pitchforks for you, ma'am. This is a very long barbecue steak fork. Where did you get this? Did you pull this off the shelf? I thought you were watching Moana. Watch Moana. Yes, watch Moana. Leave the fish alone. And he definitely does not need a steak fork. No. No. Go. No. You've eaten breakfast. You've been to the bathroom. What do you want? No. Watch Moana. Watch your show. Yes. I love you, though. I do. I love you. And go on. Stop being bad. Anyway, excuse me. So, anyhow. Now, this time dilation effect occurs even at small levels. Yay! Science! Outside of physics, we experience distortions in how we perceive time, sometimes to a startling extent. Now, place one clock at the top of a mountain and place another one at the beach. Eventually, you'll see that each clock tells a different time. Why? Time moves slower as you get closer to Earth. Because as Einstein positioned in his theory of general relativity, the gravity of the large mass like Earth warps the space and time around it. Now, scientists first observed this time dilation effect on the cosmic scale, such as when a star passes near a black hole. Then in 2010, researchers observed the same effect on a much smaller scale. Using two extremely precise atomic clocks, one placed 33 centimeters high and the other, again, time moves slower for the clocks closer to the Earth. The differences were tiny, but the implications were massive. Absolute time does not exist. For each clock in the world and for each of us, time passes slightly differently. But even if time passes at ever fluctuating speeds throughout the universe, it's still passing in some kind of objective sense, right? Maybe not. Now, physics without time. Now, in his book, The Order of Time, Italian theoretical physicist Carlo Rovelli suggests that our perception of time, our sense that time is forever flowing forward, but could be a highly subjective projection. After all, when you look at reality on the smallest scale, using equations of quantum gravity, at least, time vanishes. If I observe the microscopic state of things, writes Rovelli, when the difference between past and future vanishes, in the elementary grammar of things, there is no distinction between cause and effect. So why do we perceive time as flowing forward? Rovelli notes that although time disappears on extremely small scales, we still obviously perceive events that occur sequentially in reality. In other words, we observe entropy, order changing into disorder, and egg cracking and getting scrambled. Rovelli says key aspects of time and described by the second law of thermodynamics, which states that heat always passes from hot to cold. This is a one-way street. For example, an ice cube melts into a hot cup of tea, never the reverse. Rovelli suggests a similar phenomenon might explain why we're only able to perceive the past and not the future. Anytime the future is definitely distinguishable from the past, there is something like heat involved. Really? Now, Rovelli wrote for the Financial Times, thermodynamics. Thermodynamics traces the direction of time to something called the low entropy of the past, and still mysterious phenomenon on which discussions rage. Entropy growth orients time and permits the existence of traces of the past, and these permit the possibility of memories, which hold together our sense of identity. I suspect that what we call the flowing of time has to be understood by studying the structure of our brain rather than by studying physics. Evolution has shaped our brain into a machine. A machine, huh? That feeds off memory in order to anticipate the future. This is what we are listening to when we listen to the passing of time. Understanding the flowing of time is therefore something that may pertain to neuroscience more than to the fundamental physics. Searching for the explanation of the feeling of flow in physics might be a mistake. Scientists still have much to learn about how we perceive time and why time operates differently depending on the scale. But what's certain is that outside of the realm of physics, our individual perception of time is also surprisingly elastic. Now, the strange subjectivity of time moves differently atop a mountain than it does on a beach. But you don't need to travel any distance at all to experience strange distortions in your perception of time. In moments of life or death, fear, for example, your brain would release large amounts of adrenaline, which would speed you up in your internal clock, causing you to perceive the outside world as moving slowly. Another common distortion occurs when we focus our attention in particular ways. If you're thinking about how time is currently passing by, the biggest factor influencing your time perception is attention. Now, this is something Aaron Sackett, Associate Professor of Marketing at the University of St. Thomas, told the Gizmodo. Now, this article comes from Think Big, Smarter, Faster, which is in the Gizmodo. Now, the more attention you give to the passage of time, the slower it tends to go, as you become distracted from time's passing, perhaps by something interesting happening nearby or a good daydreaming session, you're more than likely to lose track of time. Now, giving you that feeling that time is slipping by more quickly than before. Time flies when you're having fun, they say, but reality, it's more like time flies when you're thinking about other things. That's why time will often fly by when you're definitely not having fun, like when you're having a heated argument or terrified about an upcoming presentation. One of the most mysterious ways people experience time perception distortions is through psychedelic drugs. Now, in an interview, The Guardian, Rovelli described a time he experimented with LSD. "It was an extraordinarily strong experience that touched me also intellectually," he said. "Among the strange phenomena was the sense of time stopping. Things were happening in my mind, but the clock was not going ahead. The flow of time was not passing anymore. It was a total subversion of the structure of reality." It seems that few scientists or philosophers believe time is completely an illusion. What we call time is a rich, stratified concept. It has many layers. Now, some of time's layers apply only at limited scales within limited domains. This does not make them illusions. What is an illusion is the idea that time flows at an absolute rate. The river of time might be flowing forever forward, but it moves at different speeds between people and even within your own mind. Que interesante, yeah? Very, very much so. So I've been collecting. Let's see if it happens. Now, over the weekend, 31 shot and 7 fatally injured in Chicago. The Renaissance's Nun's Last Supper painting makes a public debut. Anyone even hear about that? We've had the Last Supper painting forever. One of our family Bibles has the Last Supper on it. I don't know if that Bible survived the house fire, but I remember that the Last Supper is on the front. There's a huge book with, like, dipped in gold and shit. You know, that hidey-tidy stuff. Now, after hiding for 450 years, the 21-foot canvas, which created by self-taught artist and nun, Platia Nelli, is now in view in Florence. Now, around 1568, Florentine nun, Platia Nelli, a self-taught painter who ran an all-women's artist workshop out of her convent, embarked on her most ambitious project yet, a monumental Last Supper scene featuring life-size depictions of Jesus and the 12 apostles. They were 13, but yeah, okay. As Alexandra Corey writes, for the Florentine, Nelli's roughly 21 by 6.5-foot canvas is remarkable. For its challenging composition, adept treatment of anatomy at a time when women were banned from studying the scientific field and chosen subjects. Women weren't allowed to do shit. We weren't allowed to own nothing. We weren't allowed to do art. We weren't allowed to study. We weren't allowed to be apostles, and that's why they made Mary Magdalene a whore. Yeah. Men in the church, bringing women down since, well, forever. Now, let's see. During the Renaissance, the majority of individuals who painted the biblical scene were male artists at the pinnacle of their careers. Now, per the nonprofit Advancing Women Artists organization, which restores and exhibits works by Florence's female artists, Nelli's masterpiece placed her among the ranks of such painters as Leonardo da Vinci, Domenico Ghirlandaio, Pietro Perugino, all of whom created versions of the Last Supper. Now, to prove their powers, their prowess as art professionals. Now, despite boasting such a singular display of skill, the panel has long been overlooked. According to Visible Platia Nelli and Her Last Supper Restored, a monograph edited by AWA director Linda Falcone, Last Supper hung in the rectory and or dining hall of the artist-owned convent Santa Caterina until the House of Worship's dissolution during the Napoleonic suppression of the early 19th century. Now, the Florentine Monastery of Santa Maria Novella acquired the painting in 1817, housing it in the refectory before moving it to a new location around 1865. In 1911, scholar Giovanna Pierottini reported the portable panel was removed from its stretcher, rolled up, and moved to a warehouse where it remained neglected for almost 3 decades. Wow! That is crazy. Now, for the first time in some 450 years, Nelli's Last Supper, newly restored, following a 4-year campaign by the AWA, is finally on public view, no longer consigned to Santa Maria Novella's private halls. The work is installed in the church's museum, where it hangs alongside masterpieces by the likes of Masaccio and Brunelleschi. Interesting, interesting. That's pretty interesting that women were not allowed to, well, they weren't allowed to do a lot of things, and we're still going through that to this day. Don't worry, we're not done. See how this worked out? If no one came, then this just turned into one of my fucking regular shows. I like that. Instead of having to wait, so like yesterday, nothing happened. No one came on, and then I was going to come back on and do a show, but I got busy studying and stuff, so I never came back on, and then I got tired and went to sleep. My daughter's very, very energetic all night long. It takes her forever to go to sleep. Now, I wanted to do a little bit of stuff. Okay, so did you know that Hawaii was a kingdom from 1810 to 1895? Queen Liliuokalani was the state's last queen, a sovereign of the Kalakaua, I hope I said that right, dynasty. She ruled 4 years before being overthrown by the United States, because that's what we do. Liliuokalani is perhaps best known today for writing more than 160 songs, including Aloha Oi. I want to say that the GOP is un-American, and it is America's greatest problem, because they divided to conquer, then they rigged with gerrymandering, next came their open voter suppression. None of these tactics work. So now the modern POS Republican Rape Public Klan Party openly plots coups and overthrowing our democracy. They are anti-American, and it is our greatest problem, next to Nazis. Nazis are here, and, you know, if you want to take care of people and take care of the environment and be good to animals and such, you're a stupid libtard, right? What would Jesus do? Not anything that a GOP person would do, that's for sure. Definitely not. And for those who need to hear it, stop fighting yourself and accept where you are in life. Let this be the time in your life to motivate you to let go of all the things that are holding you back and focus on creating a better future. Maybe you find yourself stressing out all the time like a fucking parakeet, like I do. I got 14 soothing thoughts to give your brain instead of your usual stressful ones. Number one, I have everything I need in this moment. Number two, I have survived all of my hardest days up to this point. Number three, I am open to the lessons life is teaching me. Please, God, don't get sick right now. This week is orientation. Number four, I don't judge or demean my own feelings. I let them in. Number five, I am both a masterpiece and a work in progress. Number six, I have enough. I do enough. I am enough. And if no one else thinks that, they don't belong in your life. Number seven, I'm strong, calm, and stable. And don't worry, if you're not calm and stable, that's okay. Let that shit out and then carry on. Have your 1 minute of weakness and go back to being gangster. Number eight, I've done hard things before and I can do it again. You never know what you can survive until you have to do it. Number nine, I love and accept myself just as I am. That is something that everyone should say themselves every day. Should I wake up in the morning and piss excellence? Number 10, everything will come together as it's meant to. Yes, it will. Doesn't always make sense. Isn't always the easiest, but... Number 11, mountains don't rise without earthquakes. That's true. And did anyone know that we have a crack that's opening up in Arizona? They're saying it's just going to keep getting bigger. Number 12, may I practice with what I am given rather than wish for something else. Very true. You got to crawl before you walk. Okay? And it doesn't hurt to be a jack of all trades. Practice makes perfect. Perseverance and not backing down is key. I don't know why I said stacking this word. I'm looking at something. Let's see, number 13, there's no emotion, I can't survive. So true. If you're a woman, you know this. If you're a man married to a woman for longer than 10 years, you also know this. Let's see, number 14, I'm doing the best I can with what I have, and it is enough. Yes. And remember, motherfuckers, don't depend on death to liberate you from your imperfection. You are exactly the same after death as you were before. Nothing changes. You only give up the body. if you are a thief or a liar or a cheater before death, you don't become an angel merely by dying, if such were possible. Then let us all go and jump in the ocean now and become angels at once. Whatever you have made of yourself thus far, so will you be hereafter. And when you reincarnate, you will bring that same nature with you. To change, you must make the effort. And this world is the place to do it. Now that was a quote from Paramahansa Yogananda. Now if you heard my GameStop hedge fund story, you're going to begin to wake up to discover that Wall Street is a scam. And do note the similar dynamic in the insurance industry. Companies collect premiums and pocket billions of dollars in profit by paying out less. The business model is based on fraud at a scale. Did y'all hear that Chad Wheeler of the Seahawks tried to kill his girlfriend because she wouldn't bow to him? He was even surprised at her survival. If you're not outraged, you are part of the fucking problem. The NFL needs to handle this swiftly and decisively. If Colin Kaepernick can't play football because he kneeled, this guy shouldn't be allowed and he should be in prison. I really feel like that's almost done here. Okay. So I think like no one's gonna show up until it's too late, so let's see if I have anything else. I'm pretty sure we did it all. I think we did. In India, by the way, BT Dub, they said it's okay for you to grab children outside of their clothes. It's not considered sexual assault. I'm sorry, but you reach out and grope my child and you ain't going to have hands. You're not going to have a face. I'm going to cut your tongue out and I'm going to eat it in front of you. Nobody should be touching kids with their clothes on, clothes off. It should not even be a thing. And why does India think this is okay? I don't know. But always remember, guys, in Canada, we have to press one to speak English. In Canada, the homeless go without eating. In Canada, the elderly go without needed medicines. In Canada, the mentally ill go without treatment. In Canada, our troops go without proper equipment. In Canada, our vets go without promised benefits. Yet, they donate billions to other countries before helping their own. Kind of sounds like America. You know? Why is Canada looking like America right now? Remember, guys, ladies, remember when your man is mad at him, call him baby girl. So follow me for some more relationship advice, y'all. Now I've been reading my emails, y'all, writing you guys back. I must have like 500 unread emails. I was sent this one today. This one is about unhealed childhood trauma, which manifests as fixing others, people-pleasing, codependency, external validation needed, fear of abandonment, deprioritizing own needs, need to prove themselves, tolerates abusive behavior, attracts narcissistic partners, difficulty setting boundaries. I feel so attacked right now. I literally... my mom's calling. I'm just going to call her on my phone and see what's going on. I feel so attacked right now, but I feel like that's true. But I don't see how that's our fault.
Phone. Please record your message.
Oh my God, you're on the phone. I'm going to call you back. Well, no one showed up, and by the time they do, it's going to be too late anyway. I mean, I can do a really quick reading, but is it going to be worth it? I don't know. Is it going to be worth it to stay on for a full hour?
Hey, got your phone working, huh?
Oh, no, Mom, I got a new phone.
Listen to me. It's very important you hear me very well. First of all, I can't find my, I know I had it at home, but I don't see it here. Is my triple A card.
Okay.
So if you can, you'd be doing me a favor to make sure you look it up, reset my password, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I showed you one. I don't know which one it is, and she was going crazy looking for it.
Okay.
And I don't think I got it, but I'm not going through everything.
Okay, what do you want me to do?
I want you to get on triple A. And the website, if you can, and I'll try myself. But I want you to hear me. If you can, send me a picture of the card online, or give me the 1-800 number if I can't get through. Also, I want you to understand something. I'm going to give you the password to my PNC bank. I'm going to send it to you. If something happens to me, I want you and your child to take all that I have.
Okay.
There's about $58,000 in one account.
Okay. I don't like when you talk like this.
Listen, I'm trying to tell you I'm being prepared.
Okay.
There's ice on the road.
Okay.
And you don't do that without doing it.
Okay.
We're being responsible as parents.
Okay, I'm on the triple A site. Sign in.
Okay. It might be under Miss Alice K or South Beach Holly. I don't know.
Okay.
Reset the password. And you have it. You're also, it's a premium.
$199. All right, everyone, as you can hear, I got to get off the radio. So wear your mask, wash your hands, Black Lives Matter, and I love all of you, and we will continue our programming the rest of the week around 6:30. Thanks. Bye.